الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. تروشي بالله Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing with the seerah of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. After the farewell pilgrimage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is known as Hajjatul Wida', Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has only performed one hajj, Hajjatul Wida'. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back to Madinatul Munawwara with his companions and he was well settled in Madinatul Munawwara, ulama have mentioned that after Hajjatul Wida', Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's health deteriorated and he fell ill. Scholars have mentioned that the poison which was given to him by a Jewess in Khaybar, that returned back into the system of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the age of 63. Even today in the modern world that we live in, you'll find that many a times, Allah save us, if a man has been diagnosed with an illness, Allah save us, cancer or any other illness, and the treatment has been carried out well and Allah gives that individual shifa, sometimes you'll notice that maybe after 6-7 years it recurs back into the body. And so with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of course everything is in the taqdeer, the fate that Allah has written for every individual, which also includes Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam. So at the age of 63, again scholars have mentioned that it was the poison mixed up with the food that was served to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam physically felt very weak. Also at the same time, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew that his noble mission of prophethood, nabuwat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had entrusted to him, was towards complete, and perhaps it was time for his departure from this fleeting world, from this dunya. Khair, alhamdulillah, during the last phase of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I wish not to repeat everything about the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The only reason we mention this again is to cover the service and the contributions of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an during the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So all of his contributions, the khidmat, the service that he gave whilst Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was alive and hayat. For an example, after Hajjatul Wida', once in the night Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to go to Jannatul Baqi, to visit Jannatul Baqi. Now Jannatul Baqi is the famous cemetery in Madinatul Munawwara, just outside the Rawza Athar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now this was a very important sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would frequently visit the cemetery. So scholars have mentioned that this is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. With regards to Jannatul Baqi, of course it is great honor for a man to die in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said in one hadith which is in Tuhfatul Buldan, in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, if an opportunity is given to an individual for that person to die in the city of light, which is Madinatul Munawwara, then every opportunity must be taken. So for example, if he is ill in Madinatul Munawwara and if the doctors have said something to him, then he might as well stay there. Inshallah, that is khair for him. And to be buried in Jannatul Baqi, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, Allah has instructed me to make dua for the people who are buried in Jannatul Baqi. Imagine. So anyone until the day of Qiyamah is buried in Jannatul Baqi, that man or a woman is the recipient of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thousands of Sahaba-i-Kiram ajma'in are buried. Every Sahabi who died in Madinatul Munawwara was actually buried in Jannatul Baqi. And from amongst the Khulafa-i-Rashideen, we have Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala. All of the wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, besides Khadijatul Kubra, where she is resting in Jannatul Mu'alla, all of them are buried in Jannatul Baqi. All of the children of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the uncles, the Ahle Bayt, and the Shuhada of Uhud, and thousands of Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in are resting in Jannatul Baqi. We won't even go into the Awliyaullah until now, how many individuals are buried in Jannatul Baqi. So of course it is great honor for a man, for his janazah to be lifted up from Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to be taken to Jannatul Baqi. May Allah give us all death in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. But again, it is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to visit the cemetery. Ulama have mentioned at least once in 2 weeks, or at least once in a month. Not only is this the haqq and the right of your loved ones who have passed away from your family members, to remember them, and when you go, the greetings that are given to them, As-salamu alayka ya ahl al-kuburi wa inna insha'allahu bikum allahikun. And so that is how you greet the ahl al-kubur, the people who have passed away, and to pray for the deceased. But subhanallah, the great wisdom in visiting the cemetery is the fact that it should open up a window for you in the heart that will connect to the hereafter. It is a reminder of the ultimate truth, which is maut, which is haqq. And so it is a reminder. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would frequently visit Jannatul Baqi. Many times in the ahadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be in the gatherings with the companions, and he would stand up and he would say, let us go to Jannatul Baqi. Day or night. Now this is in the night. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is desirous to go and visit Jannatul Baqi. And he said to Hazrat Ali, let us go. And so in the night, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala accompanied Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go to Jannatul Baqi. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua for the people of Baqi, and especially for the shuhada of Uhud. He made dua, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was extremely weak. When he returned back, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and says that I took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the apartment of Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very meticulous in his distribution of nights. With the many wives that he had, he would give equal nights to all of the wives. And so when he came back in the night with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he reminded Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an to take me to the house of Maymuna, because it was her turn. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to the house of Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, a small apartment, a hut that was there, and he said to Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha that I want all of the wives to come in front of me and I want to have a meeting with all of the wives. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an informed all of the Azwaj Mutahharat, all of the wives came to the hut, the apartment of Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam greeted them. And so it is sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that somebody comes, and especially when you enter your house, the first thing you do is you say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So don't expect just your wife to say salam to you. When you enter, one should say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And the wives were there, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the wives that I am extremely weak, and due to my illness it will be difficult for me to visit every one of you in the night. And so what I ask you, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam puts a request in front of the Azwaj Mutahharat, and he said, my desire is that I am stationed at one place in one apartment where all of you are free to come and visit me. Whenever you want to visit me, you can come, but that will save me from moving around from one room to another room. And all of the wives, Azwaj Mutahharat, looked at the condition of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and of course they all agreed, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's wish was that he wanted to move to the room of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Again, what we have to make note of here is even during the last phase of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was a lot of unity amongst Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. Inna lillah, astaghfirullah, we have this disunity today. But we see that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an himself invites all of the wives, and Hazrat Ali is there, of course, hearing that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's wish is to stay at the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an's residence, the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And ulama have mentioned that Hazrat Abbas and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Allah's Nabi became so weak sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Abbas carried Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the apartment of Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha to the apartment of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And there Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was stationed, and he said to all of the wives that you are free to come and visit me whenever you want. So whenever you want, you can come and visit me. So at the room, in the room, many a times you'd have 3 to 4 wives of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, maybe in the morning, and then in the afternoon the other wives would come. So all of the wives would come and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whilst Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the hujra of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he made it clear to the companions, and he said to the companions that it seems it will be difficult for me to come out for the congregational prayers, and I want Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an to lead everyone in their congregational prayers, to stand upon the musalla of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and for him to be your imam. Now my respected brothers, if we think about it, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is in the masjid. The hujra, the apartments were in the masjid, part of the masjid. And one step out, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be in the masjid. But despite the close proximity, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq to lead the prayers. In a way, some of the scholars have mentioned it was not difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with the support of the companions, if he so wished, to come and to enter the masjid with the companions. It was not difficult. But subhanallah, the divine knowledge of Allah and the wahi that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was blessed with, so that it should be a clear message to all of the companions that during the absence of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is the imam? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So that mentally the ummah is prepared. Mentally the ummah is prepared to understand. And so even to give Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq the opportunity for him to lead the people and for him to become an imam. And subhanallah, whilst Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hayat. And so again, this is a great clear indication for the ummah and for the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat. That subhanallah, this was again something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an was the imam. At the same time, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would even visit the companions. And many of the companions would come to the apartment of Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and they would visit Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Scholars have mentioned that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the condition of Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in, many of them were sad, dejected, depressed, looking at the health of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would suffer from intense fever. And so it was difficult for Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam many a times would console them, give them rahat and comfort. For an example, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to a group of companions that no Nabi has come before your Nabi. No Nabi has come before your Nabi that has lived in this dunya eternally. No Nabi has lived in this dunya permanently. Every Nabi that came before your Nabi had to go through this process of death and he passed away. And your Nabi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will also depart from you. And so again, this little exercise that comes from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een are mentally prepared. On one occasion during the khutbah, the famous incident recorded in the books of history and seerah, many of you have heard this, of course. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his khutbah, he said to the companions that Allah has given one of his servants a choice between dunya and the hereafter. Between dunya and the hereafter. And that one servant has chose the hereafter. That one servant has chose the hereafter. From amongst Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an started to cry. And it was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an who said to the companions that implicitly Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informing you of his departure from this dunya. That servant is who? Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khair, it was perhaps the most difficult moment for the companions. These were true lovers of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away from this dunya, scholars have mentioned that it was like the day of Qiyamah had struck upon the companions. The day of Qiyamah had struck upon the companions. It was a very, very difficult moment for Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'een, and we have covered that thoroughly during the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in fact the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala an, as mentioned in the traditions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Ahle Bayts were the people who were engaged with the burial of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, close family members. And that is why, again, it is better for someone who is closely related to a person who has passed away, for that individual to give ghusl, and for that individual to bury that person who has passed away. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an were active in the burial of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ghusl of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Scholars have even recorded the last few words of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an when he saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of him. Ulama have mentioned, the translation is that when he saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first words that came out from the mouth of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, may my parents be sacrificed upon you, Ya Rasulullah. May my parents be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and said, Ya Rasulullah, with your death, everything comes to an end. With your demise, everything comes to an end. What is the meaning of everything comes to an end? Ulama, scholars have mentioned what Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was referring here to, is that with your death everything comes to an end, as in wahi, revelation has stopped, and the line of prophethood has also stopped. So wahi has stopped, and the line of prophethood ends at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he looked at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, without a doubt, Ya Rasulullah, you were a source of hidayat when you were alive, and you will remain a source of hidayat even after your demise. You were a source of hidayat for the people when you were alive, and you will remain a source of hidayat, a source of guidance, even after your demise. And then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an became very emotional, and he said, if it was not for the teachings of my beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he has taught us at the time of difficulty, at the time of calamity, to exercise sabr, to persevere, forbearance, patience, which is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned in the Quran, the kalam of Allah, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً. When musibah comes to an individual, true Muslims, what do they say? قَالُوا Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That we are going towards Allah. We are going towards Allah, and everything will return back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so if it was not for the clear message of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to persevere, to make a lot of sabr, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an says, you would have seen blood coming out from the eyes of Ali radiallahu ta'ala instead of tears. He said, I would cry so much, that instead of tears, blood would start to flow from the eyes of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. That was the love that the companions had for Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. Intense love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected brothers and elders, we'll keep it short for this dars lesson. Alhamdulillah, we have covered thoroughly all of the contributions that come from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, whilst Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive. And now we have covered very quickly the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again we see that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala accompanied Rasulullah when his desire was to go and visit Jannatul Baqi, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was there with Hazrat Abbas to give Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the support to move from the hujra of Hazrat Maymuna to the hujra of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And we see that Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala were there at the forefront to look after all of the issues of burial and ghusl after the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, with that, the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we complete the first phase of the seerah of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And inshallah, the next phase will be the contributions of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala during the khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and then thereafter the khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and then we will cover the khilafat of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. But again, all that is included as the seerah of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.